going through the ringer, but God is going to use him. I guess I'll put this on, that way I don't have to shout and yell. I will anyhow, but it just said hello.
Things talking to me.
Friendly, right? Okay. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. I won't go through the whole thing. I'll just tell you the story, okay? It's the story of Moses and the burning bush. I was here one time and I preached about the burning bush. Any old bush will do. Well, we're going back to that bush also. And the burning bush is familiar to most Christians, and it's found in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through Exodus chapter 4 and verse 17. The whole story is. But Moses was miraculously spared from death when he was just a baby. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. At the age of 40, Moses killed an Egyptian and fled from Egypt. And for 40 years, he herded sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. That makes him 80 years old. And in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Horeb is the mountain of God, then we understand that. But one day in the wilderness, Moses sees something. He sees a burning bush. Now, it's not unfamiliar to see burning bushes. But this bush was a little peculiar. There's something strange about this burning bush. It burns, but it's not consumed. It just keeps burning and burning and burning. Now, so Moses, being curious, just like you and I would be, he gets a little closer to the bush, and he wants to know why it's not burning up. And when he gets close, something else happens. The Lord speaks out of the burning bush. Now, it might be not too strange to see a burning bush, but it's certainly strange to see a bush that can talk. And God reveals to Moses that he is supposed to return to Egypt. Well, you know what happens? He's killed somebody in Egypt, and they're looking for him. He's killed an Egyptian. And if he goes back there, it might cost him his life. And he is told to go back and lead the Israelites out of bondage. But Moses has a problem with what God has asked him to do, and he offers excuses to God. He's saying, "I can't do that." So he's offering excuses why he can't do what God told him to do. So I'm going to see if any of these excuses are familiar to you and I today. You see, sometimes God asks us to do things, and we don't want to do them. Even in my preaching, sometimes I want to preach a certain message because it's a wing-dinger of a message, you know. And God said, "No, don't preach that message. I've got something else for you." You know how that goes if you've ever taught Sunday school or done much of anything in the ministry. But I want to go to see the excuses and God's answer to those particular excuses. Let's pray. My God and my Father, Lord, I pray that you would bless. Lord, use the message to challenge your people. Lord, use it to make us better. Lord, that we might be better equipped to serve you. And oh God, use this speaker as your mouthpiece. Lord, give me the words to say that might make a difference in somebody's life tonight. I ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Moses has a problem with his own identity. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says this, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. God, you want me to go back to Pharaoh after I've already killed one of his soldiers? Who am I? Well, that's kind of interesting because 40 years earlier, Moses knew exactly who he was. He was going to deliver God's children out of Egypt. He knew who he was. And he began by killing that Egyptian in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 12. And now he's saying to God, who am I? After 40 years of tending and herding the sheep on the backside of the desert, he begins to doubt his value. He begins to doubt his ability. You know, you get older. Older like me. Not older like him. But older like me. And the things just don't happen. I love to preach. You might notice that. I love to preach. I love to go places and preach, and I preach it. Anytime somebody asks me to preach, I preach. I go wherever I can to preach. And when you don't get enough preaching, you begin to wonder, man, is God through with me? You know, is God through with me? And I think maybe Moses was wondering, maybe God's through with me. Maybe God's through with me. But guess what? He's not. As long as you're breathing God's air, God's not through with you. When God's through with you, he'll just take you on home to be with him. And that's not too much of a problem either. But God answers Moses' excuse in verse 12. He said, who am I? That's what Moses said. Who am I that I should do that? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God said, hey, it don't matter who you are. It matters who I am. God said, hey, I'll be with you. I'll be there with you. Don't worry about what I've called you to do. Don't worry about who you're going to be leading. I'm going to be there, and I'll direct you every step of the way. And it's the same way today. When God asks you to do something, don't worry about it. God will help you to do it. If God calls you to do something, he'll enable you to get the job done. Always has, always will. So listen to God when he talks to you. And Moses heard God speaking to him. God tells Moses, it doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who I am. And I've seen that happen many times, over and over and over through the years. It don't matter who we are. It don't matter what we go through. It only matters who God is, and he'll be with us. And we probably have all felt the hand of God in our times of need. God was there with us. So he tells Moses, the important thing is that I'll be with you, Moses. I'll be with you. There is the whole point of the bush burning and not being consumed. To let Moses know, hey, God will be with you. And God's showing Moses that any bush, any instrument, any person can do the supernatural when God is in it. I mean, when this bush is burning, it usually takes 10 to 20 seconds to burn those dry bushes up out there in the desert. And they do catch on fire. And they go, whoosh, you've seen that happen. This bush is burning and burning and burning. That's supernatural. And what's even more supernatural is when that bush talks to Moses. God's saying, Moses, I can do the supernatural. You can't do it, but I can. And Moses, I'm going to be with you. And he tells us that today too. Hey, folks, don't worry. I can do the supernatural. I can take care of the situation at hand. I can take care of that daughter. That's what Moses says. Because I am supernatural. I can take care of every situation. And he can. And most likely, he will. But lack of confidence in our ability is not a problem to God. It's not a problem to God. In fact, God is the solution to our lack of ability. God is the solution to our lack of confidence. It's not a problem with God. It's only a problem with us. Because we think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If God asks you to do it, you can do it. He wouldn't ask you if he didn't think you could do it. The second excuse, ignorance. Ignorance is really no excuse. Ignorance isn't a bad word, folks, really. It's not. Because every one of us in here is ignorant. Boy, I'm in trouble now, aren't I? If we're not ignorant, why don't you get into a trigonometry book and start solving those problems? Not a chance for me. Hey, I barely got through general math. What are you talking about, trigonometry? But you see what I'm saying? So we're ignorant of that, aren't we? Physics. I understand a little bit about physics, but I'm ignorant when it comes to that. I have no problem. I'm ignorant when it comes to women. All men are, she says. Amen. I figured all the men would say amen. But you know, ignorance is not a bad word. Really, it's not. And we sometimes get offended if somebody says we're ignorant or something like that. I just say, yes, I am. I'm ignorant about so many things. I wish I was just a little bit smarter on most of them. But look at verse 13. Moses says this, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? What am I going to tell them? When they ask me who sent you, what am I going to tell them? Well, who am I now? The ignorance problem. Who are you? That's what Moses says. Who are you? Hey, God, who are you? Now remember, God has been silent for 40 years in Moses' life. God has been silent. Actually, he's been silent for 430 years in Egypt. But he's been silent with Moses. The Israelites have been exposed to all kinds of different gods. Which God are you? Which God sent you? And when Moses comes to tell them, God sent me, they'll wonder, which God is it? So, God answers. Moses says, what shall I say unto them? Ignorance is not a problem with God either. Ignorance is not a problem with God. If we have a teachable spirit, God can help us through anything. And at this point, Moses has that spirit. And God answers in verse 14. He said, I am that I am. Amen. Say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am. Well, who is he? I am. I am the God that can heal the sick. I am the God that can raise the dead. I am the God that can part the Red Sea. I am the God that can save Rahab. I am the God that can give my miraculous victories. I am the God. Just tell him I am has sent you. And I'm telling you, if Moses went to him and said, I am has sent me, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. If God, the God, great God of I am, has sent me. That's good enough. And that ought to be good enough for about anybody. I am. Just tell them, I am has sent me unto you. God is anything and everything that we need to accomplish in any task. God can help us. Have you ever been witnessing to somebody and you're wanting to call Scripture to memory, and it just don't come, and all of a sudden, just God just gives it to you. A fella came over to my yard. I was out mowing the grass. Was it Friday? It's this week, this last week. And he said, my wife's best friend is about to die. We need to know how to lead her to the Lord. She's not saved. Have you got some scriptures? So I shut the mower off, and he got out a pen and pencil, and I started down through the scriptures, and I was trying to recall all the scriptures to help him to know how to lead somebody to the Lord. And I got them all out, but I didn't get them all in right order. You know, I slept since I've used those particular scriptures, and it's pretty hard to recall some of the things, but we finally got them all straightened out and got them all in order, and he took those scriptures to that lady to lead her to the Lord. I thought, man, that's wonderful, because I led him to the Lord. I led him to the Lord. Now he's wanting to lead somebody else to the Lord. Isn't that super? That's how it works. Reciprocation, reciprocation, reciprocation. But Moses says, just tell them, I am that I am has sent me. God is everything we need to accomplish any task. What a comfort that ought to be. What a comfort that is to our soul. I have a little lady, Martha Terman. She calls me. Well, she's been calling me about once a week lately. She must be 85, 90 years old. I mean, she's really, 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 really old. But she calls me, and she'll say, Brother Tim, Kenny's not doing good. Kenny's her son. Can you call him? He's home now. And she'll give me the phone number. I'll call him. He don't answer. But she says he's a real nice guy just like I am. And then I'll say, well, let's have prayer, Martha. And she'll just start crying. And she'll cry. She's just the sweetest lady you ever. My pastor was her brother. And I preached his funeral, my pastor's funeral. And now she wants me to come to Alabama and preach her funeral. I said, of course I'll do that, Martha. We met one time. We've met one time in our life, and that was at his funeral. And now we talk all the time on the telephone. And she's just a sweet lady. But what a comfort. What a comfort it is to her when I ask God to bless, when I ask God to come and take care of the situation. Because we all know that God can do it. We all know that there's comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know that there's comfort in a caring God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross just for me and you. He loves us. So what? The God who spoke to Moses is the same God who speaks to us today. The same God who called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt is the same God who tells us, you need to witness to that coworker today. You need to witness to your mommy or your daddy or your children. You need to tell somebody. That's the same God that talked to Moses. He has never changed. He's never changed. He still is handing out jobs for us to do. And if we're facing something we think beyond our abilities, which is most anything, the great I am is beyond sufficient for any task that comes into our life or any need that we'll ever have. The great I am is more than sufficient for it. The third excuse, I only got five of them, so we're going to be done quick. Don't worry. The third excuse, unbelief. Now, that fifth excuse is where it all comes together. Moses tells God, the people will not believe me. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Lord, I don't believe that. The people aren't going to believe that. What did God just tell him? Hey, I'll be there. I can take care of the situation. Just tell them the great I am is the God that sent you. They're not going to believe it.
ever hear people that way? They don't believe God no matter what. They don't believe God no matter what. Behold, they will not believe me. Moses didn't believe God. That's the issue right here. But even unbelief is no problem with God. Unbelief is not a problem with God. You see, I had a lady in church, faithful as can be, and she said, I'm just backslidden. I don't get any enjoyment. I said, just keep coming. Just keep coming. God will get a hold of your heart, and God will change your life, and God will set your bush on fire. Amen. And he did. And he did. But unbelief is not a problem to our Lord. If we're open and have the desire to believe, just like the father, remember the father that had the child sick, and he said, Lord, I believe. Then what did he say? Help my unbelief. Amen. Yeah, I believe you can, but do I believe you will? Different kind of belief, isn't it? Different kind of belief. Yeah, I believe in God. I believe God can do anything, but do I believe he will do it? That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Do I really believe that God will do it? And I really believe God will do it. And many times when I believe God will, he does. He does. But he's still God, and it's up to him. God prepares Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and verses 2 through 9. God prepares Moses. And this was designed to strengthen the faith of Moses until, like the Apostle Paul, he could say, I can do anything through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, notice how easy it is to, remember what I said this morning? Notice how easy it is to cast the rod and have the rod turn to a serpent, and how hard it is to reach down and pick it up. A little different story, isn't it? I hate snakes. Now, I don't kill them when I see them. I'll kill a copperhead if it's around the house or anything. I've only had to kill one, but I don't kill the black snakes and stuff. And I hate black snakes, too. I hate garter snakes. They think they're the kings of the world, you know. Hey, you get to playing with them or something like that, and they get up, stand up on their hand like a cobra, you know, and they think they're going to be something bad, and they're not. But I hate them all. But the snakes are good. They kill the rats and the mice and all kinds of insects and stuff like that. So I don't kill them. Derek wanted to kill a snake the other day. I said, no, Derek, don't kill the snake. Yeah, me and my dad kill them all. I said, we ain't killing the snake. But it's easy to cast the rod, and it's hard to pick up the serpent. But with God's help, it sure makes it a whole lot easier. Moses' faith is strengthened so that when God tells him he would cause water to turn to blood, Moses wouldn't have to be shown. He wouldn't have to be shown. He's been taught. He's been raised. His faith has increased. And now when God says do this, Moses just does it. Unbelief is no problem. God will build our faith just as he built the faith of Moses. I've probably told you this story as many times as I've preached here, but my faith was increased so much by something so little that it's amazing. We were in Davenport, Iowa, probably 20 below zero, January. We got out there to get the church vans and stuff running, get them warmed up. Church van wouldn't start. And I don't know if any of you ever lived in the north, but I mean, this battery was run down so much it just went, ah, ah. That was it. And they said, well, we're just going to have to forget about running this van. I said, wait a minute. Let's try it one more time. You already know the story. Got back in that van, started right up. Something that small, something that little. And God just increased my faith. God can do anything, because I'm telling you this, that oil gets so thick, it's hard to even turn those engines over with a great battery. And this thing was already run down, wouldn't even honk the horn. You know what? Battery didn't start that van. It was hooked to a higher power. God started it for one reason, to give Tim Roller a lesson in faith. That's why he did it. And Moses has been taught lessons in faith. God will build our faith when we need it built. Number four, the fourth excuse, inadequacy. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know what? Moses stuttered. That's what it's saying. Moses stuttered. He couldn't get his words out right. I can't talk to these people. I'm slow to speech. And a slow tongue. Who would listen? That's what Moses is saying. Who would take me serious? A man who stutters. When I was at Baptist Bible College, Ron Walker was a teacher, and I had him as a teacher, and I was in class one day, and this boy came in that he used to teach. He had already passed through Bible College and graduated. And he came in, and he told the boy, he said, get up and tell everybody who you are. And I don't even remember his name, but he couldn't hardly talk. He couldn't hardly talk. He couldn't get his name out hardly. And he said, okay, now turn to Philippians chapter 4 and read me some verses. And he got right in the Bible and he started reading those verses just as plain and clear and quickly as anything. It's an amazing thing. Gary Flaker, he's got a lisp. He talks real funny, you know. But I suppose he's brought more little kids in and more little kids been saved than anybody else I know. Run the bus routes. He was so faithful doing it. He would take his own money and help them to go to Christian school there in Davenport, Iowa. What a man he was. That's no problem with God. That's no problem with God. God again responds with patience. And he's patient with Moses. And God knows of that particular impediment with Moses. In fact, God gave it to him. God made him. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Hey, Moses, I made everybody. I created everybody. I created the deaf, and the blind, and the dumb. I created them all. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Hey, Moses, that's not a big deal to me. I'll guide your mouth and give you the words to speak. Every pastor's dream is for God to control their mouth and give them the words to speak when they're preaching a message. I'll give it to you, Moses. Don't worry about it. And again, the lesson of the burning bush. Any bush will do, so long as I am in it, Moses. You go, I'll be there with you. God will be with Moses, and he'll be with you and I.
Now here's that other excuse that you've been waiting for. Yeah, this is the one we've been looking for, right? You unload a load of lumber, you come to that last 2x12 that's 16 foot long. This is the one we've been looking for. Here's the one you've been looking for. The fifth excuse, unavailability. Moses asked God to send someone else. Send someone else to teach that Sunday school. Send someone else to lead that choir. Send someone else to sing those special music. Send someone else to go to their house. Send someone else to clean the church. Send someone else to drive the bus. Moses said, send someone else. Look at verse 13. Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, I ain't done it. I ain't done it, God. Send somebody else. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Jonah, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible said, but Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou discouraged. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now listen to this. For the first time, we see the anger of God. God said, I can take care of every situation. I can handle every problem you come to. I can help you in anything. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You see, Moses was saying, I'm not available, God. I wonder tonight, are you telling God you're not available? Are you telling God I'm not available to help here or there? I'm not available to work in the kitchen. I'm not available to work in vacation Bible school coming up. I'm not available, Lord. And God's anger will be kindled against you. Yeah, God still gets angry. He still gets angry. And for the first time, we see him get angry at Moses. Every other time, he's been patient. But now there's nothing else he can do. Moses said, I'm not going. I'm not available. In the first four excuses, God's been patient. Not now. One thing that kindles God's anger is saying, I'm not available. And that's the one excuse that will disqualify us in God's service. God can deal with all other excuses. I said I'll preach anywhere. Go anywhere to preach. I preach for the Jehovah's Witnesses. I preach for the Catholics. I preach for the Methodists. They probably won't have me back, but I'll preach for them. I'll try not to offend. I'll try not to offend them, but I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to preach what saith the Word of God. But Lord, I'm available. Are you available? Are you available? Do what God wants you to do. Now let me tell you this. If you say amen, every saved person has a responsibility to serve God in some form or fashion. If you've been sitting on your tush doing nothing, get up off of it and get busy. Because you're telling God, I ain't gonna do it. I'm not available. And God gets angry. God gets angry. That one excuse will disqualify us. That one excuse will lose us rewards. God tells Moses, all right, I'll use your brother Aaron. What is it that God has for you to do? Where does God want you to serve? What excuses have you given? What have you offered up to God for an excuse for not doing what He wants you to do? Keep in mind, the only requirement God has of us is what? Availability. That's the only requirement God has. God doesn't care if you've been to Bible college. God doesn't care if you have a PhD behind your name or a MD or if you're Master of Divinity or whatever you are. God doesn't care about that. The only requirement that God has to use us is availability. And if you're available, God will be with you and God will take every excuse away and help you because He's right there. He's right there. And He'll help you. Guarantee it. 100% guarantee it. You're looking at a boy, or not a boy, I guess I'm an old man now. I was a boy earlier. You're looking at a guy that couldn't even stand up in church hardly and give out a testimony without crying like a baby. I mean, God was so good to us. And God took care of us so much. Every time I'd get up and try to give a testimony, I'd just weep and weep and weep. I still do it. You can kind of notice that once in a while. Are you available? Tonight, why don't you just slip down here and we kind of got them dusted off this morning, didn't we? Get the dust off the altar. Why don't you just slip down here and say, God, here am I. I'm available. I don't know what it is God wants you to do. He might send you to Nigeria to be a missionary. He might send you to your neighbor's house to be a missionary. He might have you to teach a Sunday school or to start a brand new Sunday school class and build it from scratch. I don't know. Why don't you just come and say, God, here am I. I'm available. Let's all stand.